I think what's most important is we're sat here today because prosperity is absolutely key to the future success of this country. And I absolutely, because that's always a debating point, believe that local government has a proactive role to play in that, both in terms of catalysing things as well as locally advocating for, you know, your region, your county, your city as well. And I think we have two very clear roles there. If people don't think it's important, then for those of you who come here, sit here with a local government or even a government hat on, you have to remember that so far the government has only made 6% of its planned cuts. So there's one thing that will not be driving the economy going forward, and that is the public sector. So we do have to generate and stimulate the private sector. The second thing is, like many of you, whilst you're faced with increasing numbers of primary schools, because I'm full and my secondary schools are being academies, what I also see is an ever-increasing youth unemployment issue, which, of course, not only is a travesty in terms of their future aspiration, but also can lead, as we've seen, you know, even if you want to use North Africa as an example, ultimately leads to social unrest. So absolutely, whether you want to do this purely from a, oh, we must stimulate growth, or you want to do this from a demand management on the public sector, it is essential that we all have a prosperous economy within the UK. The second thing I want to bear in mind, and I noticed there's only one or two politicians in the room in terms of local government leaders, etc. But you cannot do this without encountering local politics. You know, my leader and cabinet, and of course I'm apolitical, but I'm just saying this, have been very, very brave in some of the decisions that they have pushed through. You know, they have funded £2 million into their local LEP. They fought very, very hard to make that a Northamptonshire LEP, a single, which has many advantages because of our natural geography. We have a Brussels office, a Northamptonshire Brussels office. We work with Greater Noida outside of Delhi because of its leather and high-performance technology. We are working in China. In fact, I've got a Chinese delegation coming across only next week, looking at glass industry in the county, interesting enough, but a lot of other reasons they want to come and talk to us. We facilitated that. But when you're a politician and you've got, you know, you're spending money on an office in Brussels and you're investing in Silverstone and you're, you know, and you're dealing all these other things, you can obviously come under a huge amount of political flak. And I think it's absolutely critical that in any arguments we do, there's got to be a bang for buck from a political scene as well. But moving on to, so, you know, the role of a county council, role of councils in general. Well, the first thing is we can't do everything. Nobody is naive enough to think you can be any more than that catalyst and advocate. That you can, you absolutely, as the report said, have quite a strong influence, but not a sole influence by any stretch of imagination, on the skills sector and the education sector. Less and less a direct influence, of course, with academies and autonomisation of schools these days. And you can also have a key role in infrastructure, be that superfast broadband, and I absolutely agree with Joe's thing that that's the infrastructure of the future, or the immediate future. What's going to be beyond, we'll wait and see. But obviously also, for example, we have a trans-European network in the A14 running through Northamptonshire, and we've worked just on that one, for example. Not only have we pulled a conference together and joined up, you know, everywhere from Suffolk or Lowestoft right through that route, Cambridgeshire, and on, to make sure we've got a joined-up story for what we want to happen to the A14, but we've also taken delegations across to Brussels now and are working with Brussels to make sure that that trans-European network is recognised by Brussels and has investment in, hence you've seen the widening around Kettering, hence you've seen some of the work that's also going to go on in Cambridge in terms of potential toll roading there through European funding. So, you know, what is your role and what you can do? Now, what we have done is we developed a thing called the Northamptonshire Arc. And now the Northamptonshire Arc is a single document, it's a single strategy that pulls together infrastructure, prosperity and skills into the same overarching strategy. Because if you can't do everything, you've got to decide what you can do. Within that, we have specific sectors that we think, for example, within our county are really important. And I want to just focus on one of those. One of those is the high-performance technology sector. We are part of Motorsport Valley. We're world-recognised. We won the Grand Prix in terms of a Northamptonshire team on Sunday. Cosworth have at least four engines. And I think something like half of the iconic side of high-performance technology in terms of Grand Prix cars either have parts, origins, or directly manufactured and delivered from Northamptonshire. So from a world point of view, it has an easy stage to play from. But we were faced only 2 years ago with that almost disappearing from the UK. Obviously, Bernie had wanted to move it out away from Silverstone because he didn't get on with the British Drivers Association. And he was ultimately, when Donington fell through, was going to lose. We stepped in and we loaned, a secure loan again, because it's value for money and protecting, but we loaned against land in Silverstone £10 million, plus a £1.5 million investment in revenue in terms of the Silverstone Master Plan. Now, why would a county council do that, or why would a council do that type of direct intervention? Well, if you look at our county alone, there's 22,000 jobs directly associated with high-performance technology. If you'd have lost the iconic Grand Prix, which now has a 17-year deal because of our investment, and Richard Phillips, Chief Executive of Silverstone, would tell you that, if it wasn't for us, it would have gone. That has protected 22,000 jobs, which are very transient. You know, it's a worldwide profession, high-performance technology. It would have moved anyway. It's not just motorsport, it's aerospace and everything that associates with that. But we do have particular issues there. Cosworth, for example. Cosworth have to interview 80 people to find one person. Not because there's such huge demand to work for Cosworth, but because actually the skills of people coming to them just isn't there. And so, for example, they've recognised they've got to start their own apprenticeship. They bypassed all of that. They just went straight for, well, we'll get it from the market. But the market just isn't developing, for example, the high-level engineering skills they've done. So what's the response of the county and the catalyst role of the county council there? Well, first of all, we've built, with Silverstone, an innovation centre. At Silverstone, so that startup businesses can actually operate out of Silverstone and get that family and clustering. We've got two UTCs, one's for one of the other skill sectors we're focusing on, but one of our two UTCs, University Technical Colleges, being built at Silverstone, hosted by one of our colleges and our local university, but to provide the direct engineering skills. We've put in place an INVENT, as we call it, Innovation and Enterprise a funding mechanism that, again, the five sectors we particularly focus on, but high performance being one of them, can apply for grant, sort of business rate reductions, up to £20,000. They come along and they make the presentation a bit like a sort of Star Chamber or Dragon's Den approach, and we've done that. And we, again, the County Council funds that to the tune of £300,000 a year. What we've also done, because we've got an enterprise zone in Northampton, we've also expanded that whole approach by having a broader enterprise business rate reduction, because what we didn't want is businesses moving out of Daventry or other parts, other our local towns, and taking business rate reductions within the enterprise zone. So we've expanded that out to the tune of another £300,000 to make sure that startup businesses in particular stay where they were going to settle, perhaps in the innovation centres in Daventry, rather than move into the enterprise zone and the advantages there. So we have to think about whether it's skills, whether it's because other work on that sector, not only the University Technical College, the local college now does skills development. We've worked with our enterprise partnership to put together a total apprenticeship scheme for the county, very similar to how Kent have now done it, to make sure we're getting the right skills across the sector. So we play a really key role in that sort of business ecosystem. The second side is, apart from attracting things through the European office, is I think this concept of the revolving infrastructure fund. Money is not going to come from government. It just doesn't have any. So forget that. Money will come from businesses. In fact, most of you, and I spend a lot of my time now as a chief executive out there talking to investors, talking to the private sector, to how can we bring money in. And I don't mind whether that's money from China, whether that's money from India, or whether that's money from UK companies. We have to play that role to get that investment. We've got to get a return on that to make sure it's revolving. So, for example, the other day, I had the opportunity to, I literally was called in, Paul, can you underwrite the train station for £10 million, just because we can't get, just in case we don't get DfT and DCLG funding? My answer instantly to that, God knows where I was going to find the £10 million from, was yes. That has then attracted private sector investment. Actually, we do now have the funding coming through from government, as well as from Network Rail. So by us being much more nimble, savvy, braver in taking some of those fast, quick decisions, you actually start to attract the investment. We're also starting to take on a developer role. We've sat down with developers, for example, around Northampton. It's a very large growth area. It's right in the centre of the country. It's been the largest, fastest growing county for many years. We sit down with those developers and we say, how can we all get a win-win-win on this? You know, because before they were traditionally, whether it's Barrett's and others, they were trying to fight to be more successful. We now sit down. We have an agreed plan about how we will let, for example, some high-cost developments go along. So that brings in a greater share of money in terms of 106 and other things for us. So we can do the infrastructure that then allows them to do the larger developments that they want. And by actually planning and working together with the private sector in that way, you can start to stimulate the growth that otherwise would stagnate, waiting for people thinking, well, we can't pay our 106 monies. So, and the final point, just in terms of one of the other things that we're doing, I'm also MD of LGSS, which is a large support shared services entity. We are imminently about to own our own bank. And the great advantage of doing that is through then putting our pension funds through that bank in terms of investing in SMEs within our local environment. So I was just giving you some examples about how I do believe, with the political backing, that we can actually play a very proactive role as councils now in that catalyst and advocacy. Not forgiving the fact that, you know, if a large car manufacturer wants to up sticks and move its base to Malaysia or somewhere like that, we can do little to influence that at a local level. That is when national politics has to come into it. Thank you.
Thank you very much.